Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Legislature is winding down or winding up, however you want to look at it. Bills are, they're flying off the floor. They are. Some are headed to the trash bin, others to the governor's desk, and then to the trash bin. But some at the governor's desk get signed into law, right? Well, then what happens? Enter today's guest, Montana Secretary of State Kristi Jacobson, about, you know, the process. I think they call the process codification. That's sort of a disturbing word for made into law. But that's on the plate here. Talk about that. Annual reports, kids visiting the Capitol, Montana winning it all, Montana State winning it all. Today, Kristi Jacobson on Voices of Montana. Montana Secretary of State. She was born and raised in the town she works in right now, Helena, Montana, and joins us from the Capitol. Catch up on a few things. Good morning, Secretary of State Kristi Jacobson. How are you, ma'am?
Good morning, Tom and Cody, and all of Montana. It's such a pleasure and an honor to be here with you today. I just wanted to say I like the Don't Worry, Be Happy song. It reminds me of seventh grade when I was at C.R. Anderson Middle School, and in the morning after the announcements, they played that every morning. It was just kind of a fun, brighten your day song. So good choice in music.
Oh, nice. And thanks for sharing that story. That's pretty cool. I'm going to start off with this one here. We got a lot to talk about. So thanks for coming on here for a few minutes. But I thought this was fun. You and Commissioner James Brown, Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, made some NCAA tournament selections. Of course, you're a Montana grad, so is he. So you put Montana all the way, Montana State all the way too. But some of those other selections, maybe, Kristi, maybe you'd have to rethink those. But anyway, that was fun, right?
It was so fun. And if I had a chance to do it over, I'd do it. I'd pick the same exact way. my rationale, absolutely. We grizz all the way. I'd do that again in a heartbeat. I was at the end cheering for Houston just because the coach started his career at Montana Tech. That's where my husband graduated from college. So that was fun and so close, and hopefully next year. But yeah, it was good. It was fun. I love Commissioner Brown. We had a good time doing that.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good one for this too. And I like the pictures. You guys are pouring over the brackets. That's real real dedication there. So let's get on to a few other things here. Of course, you talked about Kelvin Sampson. That was coached Houston and started his career, like you said, at Montana Tech. Really cool to have that connection there. It was so close. It's so hard to win those things. Let's get into this. All these bills, right? They're flying off the floor. Some to the trash bin. Some to the governor's desk. And then, if they are signed into law, what happens next?
So, just an update in general. So 120 bills so far have been signed into law. Our office assigns the chapter numbers. So we see everything after the governor signs, and we assign the chapter numbers. 120 bills so far, hundreds more to come. Just a fun one that I wanted to mention today that had just huge support was making rodeo the official state sport. So that one was fun to see come through right away. Just a couple others I wanted to note: removing red tape for farmers through ag leasing, and also encouraging shooting sports competition in Montana colleges. So I think those are just all very appropriate for Montana and really capture who we are. So those are fun to see come through. And then, yeah, there's a lot that I'd like to chat about on the election side of things as well.
Yeah. Well, please do then. I mean, I know there was a lot, I think, accomplished in the 2023 session there. Of course, a lot of that was challenged. Some of that made it through. I think there's a few others that are held up there as well. For a lot of people, these are just common sense approaches to really tightening up these election rolls. And I think we have seen Montana's doing a pretty good job, Kristi. I think you know that. I mean, you've been rated pretty high, and congratulations on that, too. But I think we have seen across the country that there are reasons for some concerns.
Yes, definitely. So actually, it was in 2021, the 2021 legislative session, that I had clear marching orders right after I won the election for voter ID and changing same-day voter registration. That was something I campaigned on. That was something that Montanans all got behind to support. And then we were hit with lawsuits immediately. So we spent the last, it was, 4 years fighting those in court. And so in 2023, we were waiting to see how those challenges made their way through the courts. And ultimately, we were not successful with the changing same-day voter registration and the voter ID. So now that the litigation is behind us on that, we were able to apply all the lessons learned of what the court said were unconstitutional and whatnot, and then adjust accordingly to have bills go through this current session. And that's exactly what we've done. So I'm very proud to say we've got another voter ID bill that is going through. And we had huge support on that. Again, there's 84% of Americans support voter ID. And I have complete confidence that will be signed into law. And again, we adjusted all of the things that were wrong with that original bill in 2021. And so this absolutely should stand up if we're challenged again, which I'm sure we are, because the liberals have, that's their playbook, to sue. And that's just what I'm sure we'll expect that again.
Yeah.
But so the voter ID again, and then changing same day voter registration. So something that we heard and we saw after both of the general election in 2020 and in 2024 was just our county partners saying that the same-day voter registration created a lot of challenges for them, because they're trying to obviously tally all the ballots and the votes and get the results to Secretary of State so we can publish the statewide results. And they're busy getting people that are standing in line after 8 o'clock for voter registration. And that really messes with their ability to do their job on election day, which is to count the votes and get them out there. So we have a bill right now that is also going to pass that has a deadline for voter registration. So you can still register to vote on election day, but that you have to do it by noon that day. And we're actually expanding voter registration opportunities for everybody by opening voter registration at the county offices on the Saturday before. So it gives all the people that have difficulty getting registered to vote, if they work or they've got a busy schedule during the week, to be able to register to vote on the weekend. And with that expansion, then on election day, you can also register to vote. But the deadline, the cutoff, will be noon. So we don't have these long lines of people that have waited and, standing in line till 4 o'clock in the morning and things like that. That's
yeah.
just not that way it should be done. That's not a best practice. So super happy for voter ID and adjusting the same-day voter registration so we can get the votes, the results out quicker on election day.
Yeah, and thank you for that. I mean, I think deadlines are okay to have. I mean, I don't see how having voter registration open for, 2 months ahead or three, maybe it's open actually all year long.
Right.
Tell me about that. I mean, why there's plenty of opportunity to register to vote. Why do the courts say that the legislature cannot establish a deadline?
Right. So that's actually contrary to what our Constitution actually says, and why we even have same-day voter registration now, because the legislature determines the place and the method for registration. And they were the ones that ultimately made a decision to allow for it on election day, not realizing that it would create chaos and havoc for our election administrators to be able to count the votes and get the results out. But then the court, it's just so hypocritical to say they can make the decision to allow it on election day, but not change it when that doesn't work to the day before. So it's, I really, that rationale, really nobody can ever understand that rationale. But we had to just make the adjustment as best we could for the courts in response to the lawsuit from the 2021 lawsuits. But definitely across the country, there are so many states that have a deadline for voter registration. It's 30 days before the election. You can't, after that, you cannot register for that election. So there are other states that have even stricter deadlines. It used to be like that in Montana until the legislature made a change. And just a reminder, you know, when you give something, it's just super hard to take it back or make adjustments. That's why we just have to be so diligent in what we choose to do and how we choose to do it. But definitely, it's reasonable. It's what, again, all Montanans want. It's what our election administrators want. And so we're getting to the finish line on that. And that's going to be a huge win for our state.
In her second term as Secretary of State, nearly 60% of the vote I think, the previous election or thereabouts, and a lot of years in state government, served as the Deputy Secretary of State before this current role. Christy Jacobson here. Christy, can you go back and talk to me about how the voter IDs law, ID laws that the court found some issue with, and you went back to the legislature, and I can't believe it was 2021. I remember that now. That's how, I mean, that process to get a ruling on that, I can't believe took as long as it did, but I guess that's our court system nowadays. But when you said you tightened those laws up, what were the legislators responding to?
Yeah, so, and I just want all Montanans to know that not only did I work hard to get those bills passed in 2021, when we were hit with the lawsuits, our office spent, we fought really hard to keep those laws in place. And I even appealed to the United States Supreme Court. They didn't rule against us, but they just chose not to hear our case. So ultimately, we did not come out successful. But it also sheds a light that our Supreme Court races are just so important. And we have a very liberal activist Supreme Court here in Montana. And that's sort of where they hold the line on some of these things. And that's why it's just so important that we elect Supreme Court candidates that are reasonable and they really apply the law and they don't use it to weaponize against a Democratic agenda. And that's kind of what has happened in the last, from where my lens is, in the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. But the new voter ID bill, that is, again, sponsored by Senator Cuff, who's just a champion for our elections in the state of Montana. That it's just, again, a nonpartisan, common sense, best practice, tightening up the voter ID laws. We actually did have a lot of Democrats support that legislation in the Senate as well. I want to say that all but four voted in favor of the voter ID. So I think it's starting to hit home with even Democrat legislators that voter ID is very popular and only citizens should be voting in our elections. Those are like no-brainer, common sense, you know, laws that need to be in place. So this elevates the Montana IDs to be used, military ID, tribal IDs, Montana student IDs. So really there is no valid argument anymore against using voter identification in our elections. We've squashed all the arguments. So it is going to be law and it is going to stay law in the state of Montana.
I like that. I mean, and I think that was the contention there in some of those laws was some of those methods and methodology in terms of voter ID, acceptable voter ID cards. And those methods can be, you know, fixed, so to speak. So I know you've spent a lot of time on that. Let's ask before I go to break. Actually, I'm kind of up against the break. I want to talk about how much you value the conversation regarding illegal voting in the country. There's been some reports. Of course, Doge has done a lot of it, but other groups have done some investigating on it as well and have found some irregularities. We'll just put it that way. Talking about the value of preserving our voter rolls and making sure that they're clean you know, people, elections are so important in this country. So any kind of scrutiny, I think, on our election process is valid to look. And we're talking with Christy Jacobson today as well, Montana's Secretary of State, native Montanan. We'll go back, to the work that she has done. It includes a lot of what we've been talking about, voter ID and same-day registration, kind of replace the IT system as well. That was no small feat. And then there's this program from on the national level where Montana was invited to be, you know, one of the first participants in this pilot program that talks about election integrity. And I want to, Christy, thanks again for being here. I appreciate that. I know we got just a few more minutes, but I wanted to see how valid you felt this criticism is that we're seeing now from certain reports about illegal aliens, the 11 to 20 million that are here. Some of them are finding their way onto voter rolls in different states. How valid do you find that criticism? How much of an issue do you think it is? And talk about that in reference to Montana.
Yeah. So now that we have Trump in place and he's hired such a stellar cabinet, I have a lot of hope for information that we need to get from the feds. So Trump had some executive orders, and Trump, by the way, endorsed me in Bozeman last summer. It was just epic. But I got a full endorsement from President Trump last summer. And
congrats. That's pretty cool.
For sure. So, but he has a couple executive orders, and I've been in communication responding back on where we're at with Montana, and some of the items we're actually getting through right now through the legislature. So that's awesome. But we, from Department of Homeland Security, I have written a letter to Christy Noem asking that she please give us all of the non-citizens from her database so we can compare that against our voter information. If we don't have that information, and I asked that of the Biden administration several times, and I was just completely ignored, like just not even a response, which is not a surprise. But Christy Noem, Department of Homeland Security, that's information that I've requested, and hopefully she'll be responsive soon to give up who the non-citizens are here, and then we can compare that data against the voter rolls. So I'm super hopeful for that. And then Pam Bondi just being, if there's any voter fraud, that she's locking them up and that there's a consequence for that. So I've also written a letter to her urging her to take the voter fraud serious and to lock anybody up that's convicted of voter fraud. So just supporting both of them. And then with Trump, just on the business services side of things, he's done a really great job. We're giving direction to his cabinet on he's not going to be enforcing the Corporate Transparency Act, which was a complete nightmare and disaster for all businesses. So in January, I had written a letter to him urging him to stop the Corporate Transparency Act, and he's been responsive, and that will not be enforceable for our small businesses in the state of Montana. So that's a huge win for businesses in Montana, and also huge win for elections. So very optimistic about all of the work that we're doing and partnering with at the federal level to be able to continue to tighten up our elections and then also make it easy to do business in the state of Montana.
We have to go over what the Corporate Transparency Act, again, it was on, off, now it's off, but it was a reporting requirement, correct?
Yeah, it was just a heavy-handed way to government out of control overreach, government overreach on our small businesses with heavy penalties, and nobody even knew what it was. They didn't communicate it. And then if you don't even know what it is and then you get penalized for it, it was so absurd. And Trump, the common sense leader that he is, realized that. And that will not be enforced. So just a good win and for all of our businesses in the state of Montana. We need to keep a heavy-handed government out of the way so they can thrive and do their thing.
If voter fraud does happen, I know you kind of rolled over this, but if answered it, but if voter fraud does happen, where does it happen most likely? And probably not in the identification process, huh?
Yeah. So we have to partner with our local law enforcement agency. So if there's anything there, it must be reported, and we need the law enforcement to act on that. And certainly at the federal level, and that's where we didn't have any of that across the country. So in instances previously across the country, it was never acted on. So I think with Pam Bondi in the role, there's definitely going to be, that will be taken serious as it should be.
You waived the 2025 annual reporting filing fee from the business standpoint. And the Secretary of State's office, not just elections, business, a big part of it here as well. Did people take advantage of that, businesses in Montana?
Yes, absolutely. So just happy to report we have a record number of new businesses in the state of Montana. We publish all that economic data out on our website from 2020 onward. So the Republican leadership in the state is absolutely working. Businesses are thriving. We have new businesses coming to the state of Montana, a new record every year and a new record every month. We publish all that data out there. I have waived the annual report filing fee for all of the businesses in the state in 2024 and 2025, and have a new proposal out to continue that in 2026 and 2027. Today is the actual annual report filing fee deadline. So even if you do not have any changes to your business and you don't need to pay the fee, you still need to actually just go up there and confirm that there haven't been any updates. If there have been updates, you need to update that information. And that is all due today. So no charge, but you still have to actually file the annual report. So the businesses that have not yet done that, please do so. And we did get notification that there was a mailer sent out last week to all of the businesses in the state saying they needed to file the annual report and pay a fee to this business of like $170. And please ignore that. That's something that I want to get out there. A few people have been confused on that. But there is no fee required to file your annual report. And this third party is acting deceptively. We're going to be sending a letter today to stop that on behalf of all businesses. But that was something that was sent out last week, and it is not the Secretary of State. And they're just trying to squeeze, $100 and some out of each business. So please ignore that, and please do not send in any money, because there is no charge to file your annual report.
Hey, I'm sorry, I was chatting with Cody here. Christy, thank you for that. We don't have much time. I'm going to roll this song for you just because why not, right? So thank you for joining us. Don't worry, be happy again in the background. Thanks for the work that you're doing on behalf of the people of Montana. Appreciate that. I know it continues to be busy. We'll check in with you again, okay?
Sounds wonderful, Tom. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for coming on and informing us.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.